The reading today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 14. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I appointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, all, and I greet you in the precious name of our risen Saviour, Jesus. I think it's worthy of note, before I start, that even though it's still very cold, or fairly cold, we're experiencing ever so increasing amount of daylight. And we're thankful for that, because it impacts on us in many and positive ways. So we're grateful to God in season and out of season, because it's the creator of the universe. This morning, we will be continuing in our series, Hearing God's Voice. In a sense, God speaks to all of us in many and different ways. We see in the Bible that God spoke to different people in different ways. This morning, we'll be concentrating on the account which Jesus read for us earlier in the Bible, in which God uses Nathan, a friend, a confidant of David, to speak to David in ways that brought about clear conviction of his sin, repentance, and God's forgiveness. In a sense, this episode presents for us an opportunity where we can gain insights about sin, confession of sin, repentance, and God's forgiveness. And this morning, I'm minded to unpack these three aspects as we look into this account, Nathan's encounter with David. Now, the background to this is provided in the fact that David is one of the most significant characters in the Bible. He's the only character in the Bible where it is stated that he is a man after God's own heart. So God appointed him to be king of Israel. king of Judah. And in a sense, at the time this account came about in the Bible, David had established his kingdom. He had taken the city of Reboth and made it into his capital. He changed the name to Jerusalem. He'd built a palace. He was contemplating building a temple to the Lord, for the Lord. David had engaged in war with all the neighbors that surrounded Israel. He prevailed and defeated them. Most of them, should I say, not all of them. An exception to this was the Amorites. David had engaged in war with the Amorites, but though he had prevailed, he had not defeated them. And in the last battle, the Amorites had retreated to the royal city of Rabbath. And as the time for war came in spring, David had summoned all the hosts of the army of Israel, led by Joab, to besiege the city of Rabbah and to bring about the surrender of the Amorites. But David had taken the decision to not go to the battlefront, to excuse himself from the rigors of leaving on the battlefield. He stayed in his palace. And we are told that David had developed a habit whereby he would sleep late, and he would only get up at the time when others were going to bed. And so it was on that day, fateful day, David rose from sleep, and he was stood or was strolling at the rooftop of his palace. He saw a beautiful woman bathing herself. David was struck by the beauty of this woman, and he sent his messengers to inquire about her identity. His messengers came back and said to David, "The name of this woman is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." You know, David's interest at this point should have stopped. But no, it wasn't that way. But David sent his messengers again. They brought this woman. David slept with this woman. And for him, that should have been the end of it. Or that was the end of it. Because afterwards, he was a powerful man. He was not looking for another wife. He was not looking for an affair. What he was looking for was a conquest. A conquest which he should have been leading on the battlefield, where he had gone absent. But then events took another turn when David received a message from Bathsheba saying that she was pregnant. And David at that moment, at that point, commenced a series of actions to conceal his sin. Firstly, he sent a message to Joab so that Uriah would be sent on follow. He would be excused from war. And whilst he was on follow, he planned some schemes whereby he would get Uriah to sleep with his wife. But when that failed, David sent Uriah with a letter. In that letter was clear instructions to Joab about how he should ensure the death of Uriah comes about. Clear instructions for that, in a way that would make it seem that Uriah's death was a casualty of war. Joab, being the dutiful soldier that he was, carried out these instructions. And when he had finished, he sent message back to David. Mission complete. Or so David thought. But then the sin of David had displeased God. So now I want to spend some time, a brief moment, looking at this encounter between David and Nathan. Mission complete. So David thought it was. But the sin which he had committed, the sin had despised God. But you see, David did not listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit or to the conviction brought about in his conscience. You see, even though David did not listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God mercifully kept speaking to him. And he sent Nathan, the prophet, to speak to David. Now, there was this encounter which provides for us insights about sin and about repentance. Nathan was a confidant of David, a friend, you might say. God had used him previously to take a message to David in 2 Kings chapter 7. Nathan brought a message to David from God, but this was a message of good tidings, a message of blessing. So David was comfortable with Nathan, and it made, in a sense, the message that he was going to impart, the message that he was going to convey, that much easier. And it says, the account is given, Nathan uses a story, the story of a ewe lamb. He says to David, in a city were two men. One was rich, the other poor. The rich man had many, a flock, sheep and herd. But the poor man had nothing except a lamb, which he had bought, which he cherished. And this poor man raised this lamb with his children. The lamb ate from his table, drank from his cup, and he cuddled the lamb in his hand as if it was his own child. You know, in those days, this was a very significant story that Nathan used, because in those days, a lamb was used as a pet. So in other words, he used the story of a pet lamb, which all were convenient with, all knew about, to convey the message to David. So what was this message? The message was about David's sin. And now the sin that Nathan describes is, in one way we could look at it, theft. In a sense, in a clear sense, David had stolen something from Uriah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 to 5, the Bible tells us that in marriage, a husband has dominion over the body of his wife, and vice versa. David did not have authority over Bathsheba. He had stolen what did not belong to him. So David hears this story, and David's reaction was fascinating. The Bible tells us that his anger was aroused. And he said in verses 5 to 6, he says, as long as the Lord lives, the man who did this act must surely die. And he should return fourfold for the lamb which he stole, and because he showed no pity. It's quite surprising, because actually Nathan never asked David to give a judicial account or commentary on this story. It was, as far as he was concerned, a hypothetical story. But David thought it was true, and so he gave that account. David's sense of righteous indignation so affected his guilt that he commanded the death sentence on this hypothetical man, this hypothetical unjust man in Nathan's story. David also knew that by penalizing this man was not sufficient. Even penalizing him with death was not enough. He had to restore something to the man from whom he had stolen something. Restore fourfold for the lamb which is stolen, and because he had no pity. Here David was showing his understanding of true repentance, which means restitution. But then we come to the significant part of the story where Nathan says to David, "You are the man. You are that hypothetical man. You are that unjust man in Nathan's story. It's not hypothetical, it's you." In other words, casting judgment, making a judicial decision, or statement about the account, you were talking about yourself. "The Lord has anointed you," Nathan said, "to be king of Israel, of Judah. I gave you your master's house, your master's wife, into your keeping. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord and done this evil?" was the question. So here we see David being confronted with Nathan, being confronted with his sin, being confronted with his own guilt, a situation he tried to avoid by not listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not listening to the conviction of his conscience. What was David's response, you might ask? Brings me to the second point, David's repentance. Verse 13, the Bible tells us, "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord.'" David's confession here is a good example, for he placed the blame for what had happened squarely upon his shoulders. He never sought to diminish the incident or to minimize the offense. He realized he had sinned against Bathsheba, against Uriah, but even more greatly and especially, he had sinned against God because he despised the commandment of God. "I have sinned against God." Now, these words in its original Hebrew application translated Hata al Yahweh. These are words which show or reveal a broken spirit, a person with a contrite heart. So here we see David's words were few. As one writer observed, there were no excuses, no hiding, no concealment of sin. David confronted his guilt openly, candidly, without denial of the truth. And in all of this brings us back to a statement I made at the start, that David is the only character in the Bible where the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. For in David's response, we see him preeminently being revealed as a man after God's own heart. For he's a man who knew God. But more than that, he knew he had sinned, for he had despised the commandment of God. But he confessed his sin. He knew God. He knew he had sinned, despised the commandment of God. But he confessed his sin. And that is the impact of the message that Nathan the prophet had when God used him to confront David. David knew God. He knew he had despised his commandment. He confessed his sin. So what was God's response in all of this? God's response is one of forgiveness. Verses 13b to 14, and Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin, and you shall not die." The Lord has put away your sin, and you will not die. However, because of the acts that you've committed, gave occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child that would be born to you will die. The Lord has put away your sin. In other words, we see here God's mercy, his love to the sinner. God's forgiveness was immediate. God did not demand a time of probation from David. He was forgiven because David had confessed his sin. David would spare the penalty for adultery, which he committed under the law of Moses. Now there's a difference here between judgment for sin and judgment by sin. God forgave David's sin, but he would not shield him from the consequences of his sin. David had to face the consequences of his sin. And herein we see the healing which God's forgiveness brings about. Because not only did God heal David of the guilt of his sin, by the child dying, through the death of the child, he also healed David from the presence of sin. So here we see an account. This could have made a good script for a movie, dare I say. A very poignant movie. A very important movie. But this morning I suggest to you, what we've seen here displayed, the account here, is applicable to each one of us, to you, and to me, and to you, and to I. Because the word of God clearly says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't say some have sinned. It says all of us without exception have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the word of God also says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For if we say we have no sin, then we show him as a liar, and the truth of God is not in us. Proverbs 28:13 puts it in another way. Whosoever conceals his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesses his sin, to him would God give mercy. David spoke earlier about the psalm where, I mean, David the pastor, spoke earlier about the psalm where David was talking about renewing in him a rightful spirit. This is the response, confession, repentance, forgiveness of God. And in a sense, this is about the atoning work of God, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes it, to die on the cross, that whomsoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.